the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Yesterday, we were discussing, especially boys, and the overdiagnosis of ADHD, which is really, in many cases, not in all cases, but at least in many cases, a diagnosis of boys being boys. Now, today, we're going to be switching gears and talking especially about one of the dangers faced by the parents of young girls and by the girls themselves, and that is that girls, and the New York Times, by the way, is all over this this week in the paper, especially a big article published yesterday. These girls are becoming targets of cosmetics and beauty manufacturers, products and services that are, well, the kids getting younger, getting older, younger phenomenon is really now becoming the situation in which you've got elementary school children, girls, going in for manicures and pedicures, being highly sexualized, treated as adults, false understandings of beauty, as if elementary school girls should be worried about their lip gloss and about their base and makeup and sexualized clothing and all the rest. We're going to be talking about this. And again, I come back to a basic point for Christian parents and for informed, intelligent Christians to understand. If a secular authority, such as the New York Times, understands that something like this is a threat, if from a rather elitist, metropolitan, northeast, secular worldview, this is recognized to be a problem. We should have been on this a long time ago, and some of us have. But when it reaches the pages of the New York Times, it's an alert to us that even the secular world thinks, well, maybe this whole thing's gone too far. Maybe treating girls as sex objects, especially younger girls, has gone too far. Maybe we are teaching false ideals of beauty. Now, that in itself is a great cultural achievement. Of course, the question is, what are the appropriate ideals of beauty to which girls should be aimed? We're going to be talking about that today on the Albert Mohler Program. Just as yesterday, the topic was, what in the world we do with a world that doesn't understand boys as boys? Today, we're going to be talking about what you do with the world and how, as parents and as informed, intelligent Christians, we should consider what the world does to girls in terms of trying to sell them a lie of false beauty, false expectation, early sexualization, and all the rest. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some of the issues in the news, happy birthday to all of you who celebrate a birthday on February 29, here on Leap Day and Leap Year. Yesterday, I was at a book signing for my book, Culture Shift, and the young man came through the line. He wanted me to sign a book for his father, and he's about, 22, 23 years old, and he told me that today his father turns 14. You know, that just has to be something interesting to live with. The statistics are these. You have a 1 in 1,461 chance being born on Leap Day. And every 4 years, there are hundreds, even thousands of babies born worldwide on this day. Thanks, by the way, to the Roman emperors Julius and Augustus Caesar and to Pope Gregory the 13th, who designated Leap Year Day as our quadrennial bonus day. The Philadelphia Inquirer is out with a story just reminding people of how unusual this is. Every 4 years we have this day, it upsets everything. If you got a date on your watch, you're probably going to have to advance it because you're already in March while the rest of us are in February. You start looking at some of these things, you recognize that all of a sudden we're in a day that happens only every 4 years. A couple of things to think about, by the way. First of all, for Christians and intelligent people thinking about the calendar, it's a reminder to us that the calendar itself is at least partially an abstraction. The difficulty of keeping time is something that we just have overlooked. We tend to think that this really is something metaphysical when we say it is February 29, 2008. That's a human construct of how to measure time. The reality is that we have no continuous calendar going all the way back, not only to creation, we do not have a continuous calendar going back even to the medieval era. The calendar has had to be recalibrated. The calendar, of course, is based upon astronomical and objective realities such as the movement of the Earth and the movement of the Sun within the solar system, within the rotation of the Earth on its axis. But the reality is that we're always having to recalibrate. And that's why, for instance, when people try to come up with all these prophetic structures and all the rest dealing with this date or that date or another date, the date is an abstraction. It's not like somehow we're really living in February the 29, 2008, in a date that someone could have anticipated way back. We do live in a past, present, and future. The scripture very clearly speaks to past, present, and future. But you'll notice the scripture says, don't be looking for a specific date. We're not told to wait for Jesus to return on March the 14th in some year. We are told to look to the sky and pray, even so, Lord, come quickly. So for those of you who are celebrating a birthday on this leap year, enjoy your day. I hope you get more than four times the celebration that others do on their birthday. And just remember, when we start looking at something like this, it also reminds us of the greatness of human intelligence, which is incredible to think of. Who could come up with a system of keeping time that would make as much sense as this one does? That's why the rest of the world is basically adopting this Julian calendar as a way of marking history and all the rest. But it also reminds us of the limitations of human intelligence as well. No one can come up with a perfect way, even, of marking time. Speaking of things to watch in the news, Der Spiegel, which is the German equivalent to Time magazine, is reporting that in Iran, the government is now intending to make apostasy, that is, the sin of departing from Islam, the crime in that construct there in Iran of departing from Islam. They want to make it a crime punishable by death. They want to make it part of the penal code. Now, in some parts of Iran, it practically is already. As a matter of fact, in some parts of the Islamic world, it's something of an academic debate as to whether there should be a death penalty, because given honor killings and other things, many people who do leave Islam are already treated as those who are deserving of death. Another reminder to us that even in the world of what might be considered a hypermodern age, we still have the recognition that religious liberty is lacking in many, many parts of the world. But the interesting thing about this in a secondary sense is the fact that the European Union is concerned about this. The European Union. The European Union, by the way, doesn't believe in the death penalty at all, even for what most people in America would recognize to be legitimate cases. But to show you how forceful, how decisive, how determined the European Union is, its official action is expressing concern and asking Iran to reconsider. And if you're wondering why Europe looks weak, certainly on the world stage, when your strongest verbs are verbs like expressing concern and requesting reconsideration, it's hard to take it seriously on the world stage. It's very interesting. The statement, by the way, it reads like this. The European Union calls upon the Iranian authorities, both in government and parliament, to modify the draft penal code in order to respect the obligations, those obligations, to human rights conventions. Very, very interesting. Speaking of interesting, and you can do with this as you will, a study by St. Louis University found that dogs and robotic toys are very effective at relieving the loneliness of elderly people in nursing homes. Now, this is just a reminder to us that, especially when it comes to the dog or to a pet, God has given us so many amazing gifts, but animals that would be our companions are in themselves an amazing gift. And there is no doubt there's ample empirical research to indicate that people who are lonely can greatly benefit by the loyalty and the presence, the joy, and the companionship of an animal like this. But it's very interesting to think about this, that the argument seems to be coming from St. Louis University. The odd thing, the data point that gets the attention, is that robots tend also to be of interest to people. You know, I think it just goes to show that whatever your age, there's something fascinating about a toy. And, you know, at 48 years of age, I'm at a stage where I got a 15-year-old son. I can buy some things to play with him, and I can say I'm buying them for him. Illinois Senator Barack Obama has released a letter to a homosexual rights organization that's something of a blockbuster. Speaking of his intentions if elected president, he says, as president, I will place the weight of my administration behind the enactment of the Matthew Shepard Act to outlaw hate crimes and, now listen carefully to this, a fully inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act to outlaw workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Very interesting. So he's taking this beyond. You may remember that earlier in this legislative season, in this Congress, the issue of ENDA, as it's known, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, was debated. And even Barney Frank, a very prominent homosexual activist, was charged with compromise because he removed the issue of gender identity from ENDA as it went through the House of Representatives. This is one of those things we're going to track. The letter written by Barack Obama to this organization really is, as I described it earlier, a blockbuster. It's going to require probably a great deal of our attention on this program because it goes right to the heart of these issues. And he is very clear about here putting himself entirely about getting rid of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. It won't take long for that to get around the public conversation. Our conversation today, however, on this program is about the early sexualization of girls, treating girls as a, quote, entry market for cosmetics and beauty services. Elementary school-age girls we're talking about here. We'll be talking about it today on the Albert Miller Program. The phone number is 877-893-8255, and we'll be right back with your calls.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back. The New York Times is reporting that young girls, elementary school age girls, girls age 6 to 9, have been identified as a, quote, starter market for beauty products. Let me read to you from the article published yesterday at the New York Times. It says that cosmetic companies and retailers increasingly aim their sophisticated products and service packages squarely at 6 to 9 year olds, that's 6 to 9 year old girls, who are being transformed into savvy beauty consumers before they're out of elementary school. The article references the fact that in the past, young girls tagged along on beauty expeditions with their mothers and teenage sisters, just being kind of introduced to the grown-up world, but now they're being treated as grown-ups themselves. Let me read to you again from the article. Reality programming, like America's Next Top Model, often hinges on the segment devoted to a hair and beauty transformation for the contestants. On social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace, members' intense self-focus and their attention to how they present themselves also affect 9 to 6 year olds, even though technically they aren't allowed to set up profiles on the sites. We live in a culture of insta-celebrity, this official said. Our little girls are now growing up thinking they need to be ready for their close-up, lest the paparazzi arrive. Now, as we discussed yesterday, there's something wrong with a society that says, let's handle our boys by diagnosing them. And again, just to put in the footnote, we're not saying it's never an appropriate diagnosis, but obviously when you're dealing with 1 out of 10 boys being diagnosed with ADHD, something's out of kilter. There's something even worse, I think, about a society that says, here are little girls, let's sexualize them. Let's make them an entry market for beauty products, a starter market. The tragic story of adolescent girls and young women estimating their own value by the criteria of outer beauty, by measuring themselves by cultural expectation, that's bad enough. But now elementary age girls are asked to join the party. As I wrote at my website this morning, this is just sick. Some observers relate this to all the KGOY trend, that is, kids getting older, younger, something that's being discussed by those who follow such trends, who look at marketing, education, and all the rest. But in this case, it's not just a matter of getting older faster, but of being tragically misled about the purpose of life and the reality of beauty. Rosalind Wiseman, an author cited in the story at the New York Times, said this, "Mothers and fathers do really crazy things with the best of intentions. I don't care how it's couched, if you're permitting this with your daughter, you are hypersexualizing her. It's one thing to have them play around with makeup at home with the bubble of the family, within the bubble of the family, but once it shifts to another context, you are taking away the play and creating a consumer, and frankly, you run the risk of having one more person who feels she's not good enough if she's not buying the stuff." End quote. Now, here's what I think. I think this raises the issue. When you talk about parental complexity, you see the pernicious cycle of all of this. Why would parents allow, why would parents encourage the sexualization of their young daughters? Let's remember that as Christians, we believe that true beauty is a matter of godly character, not of external appearance. We're setting these young girls up for disaster. And I can promise you this, that disaster is going to take more than one form. The discussion today is joined by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. As yesterday, we want to encourage you right now, even if you would prefer to send an email to albertmohler.com. Just go to the website at albertmohler, that's M-O-H-L-E-R.com, and hit the mail button, or just email us from your software to mail@albertmohler.com. And it will get to us. We're very, very interested in hearing what you have to say about this, because I think parents ought to be gravely concerned, greatly concerned, immediately concerned about this, And, you know, the more you begin to look at it, the more you recognize that not only is it an issue in which you've got girls being hypersexualized and treated as beauty consumers, you got the whole issue of the question of beauty, and it's the trickle-down theory. You have people look at a model and say the model's beautiful, when actually beauty is a function of character, according to the Christian worldview, long before it is a function of skin and of facial features or anything else. We are a society that lies and lies about the fact that it lies. In other words, if you line people up and you want to say, look, do you really believe that beauty is a matter of the skin and the physical and visual appearance, first of all, almost everyone's going to say no. They're going to instinctively know. Maybe it's just shame and embarrassment they're going to know. They've got to say, no, that's not it. But then look at our advertising. Look at our mass media. Look at the clothing sold for even young girls in department stores. And look at moms now taking their little girls in hand who aren't even old enough to walk in a parking lot without having their hands held. And they're taking them in for their manicure, their pedicure, and their introduction into this kind of enticement, my makeup, cosmetics, and beauty treatments. Very strange stuff. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Connie, calling from Clarksville, Virginia, listening on XM170. Go ahead, Connie.
Yes, Dr. Moeller, this whole thing confuses me. We're talking about the sexualization of young girls. We're talking about the medication of young boys. And in the case of girls and boys, turning them into young consumers and, you know, growing up too fast. But at the same time, as they do get older, they're putting off marriage, putting off starting a family, living at home longer, not taking responsibility for their lives. What does all this mean when you look at it together?
You know, Connie, if I could have asked for a call, I couldn't imagine a better one. That's brilliant. Noticing what the end result of all this confusion is. So let me try to track this through with you here for just a moment. What our society is saying to young girls is you need to be sexualized early. Sex and physical beauty and the ability to attract male attention, these are all really, really important, but marriage isn't. So I think the important thing to see here is, Connie, is that they're saying, the society is trumpeting, and young people are obviously getting the message, you can put marriage off, but you're not putting sex off. I mean, by and large, the statistics will just bear that out. You can have all of this, and you and I both know it's a lie. It comes with a tremendous cost. Not only is it clearly defined as sin, is it wrong, is it injurious, but it never can deliver on its promises. The beauty, the sex, and all the rest. And thus, you also have young girls who are really ruining, in many ways, a prospect for marriage. And then to look at the male side. Boys are being told, hey, it really is about entertainment. It really is about play. It really is about you. And the world is really ready for these boys to grow up to be consumers. It is young adolescent males that drive so many of the trends in entertainment, in gaming and computers, and in so many other aspects of the culture. And so I really appreciate your point, because it looks like we're moving in two insidiously opposite directions. On the one hand, in all the wrong ways, maturing our children too early as consumers, as sexual beings and all the rest. And in other ways, keeping them more immature than any previous generation of human beings when it comes to what matters even more. Taking on adult responsibility, thinking about what it would mean to be a wife and a husband, a mother and a father. Boy, you add all that together, you realize that when these young people are getting married later, they're also having sex earlier, that there you see the way this vice really begins to work. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This society lies, and as I said, it lies about the fact that it lies. And so you have people who will tell you right up front, no, I don't believe that the internal beauty is really less important than external beauty. And why do they say that? They say it because they know they're supposed to say it. But if the vast majority of people know that that's supposed to be true, then why is it reflected in reality? It's just not there. We just do not have fathers teaching their sons about what to look for in a wife. Let's remember that that's exactly what Solomon was writing about in Proverbs. He was writing that to his son about what to look for in a wife, a godly woman. And we have parents who really are not helping their children understand what true beauty is. Let's talk about that when we come back. The phone number 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello and welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about issues of young girls and beauty and all that's going on in the confusion and corruption of popular culture. When the New York Times knows something's wrong about girls age 6 to 9 becoming the entry market, a starter market for cosmetics and beauty cosmetic products, and when also you have these warnings from secular authorities about the early hypersexualization of young girls, when you have secular authorities asking the question, why would parents be complicit in this, you realize we do have a problem, and intelligent Christians need to be all over this as we think about this together. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to New Albany, Indiana. Alan's on the line. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. I was curious if I could get your thoughts on my preteen daughter. She enters into junior high school, and relaying to her from a Christian standpoint that beauty stems from the character on the inside versus the outside, which is the world telling her that it is.
You know, that is a great question for a father, Alan, and I've been right where you are. And, you know, let's face it, almost every father is going to have to face this, every mother with a daughter. And one of the most important things we can do, Alan, let me say, is before the argument, long before you have to give an argument on this, and I can even tell from your call, you're here already, let your daughter know how much you love her, because the question, am I pretty, is a self-worth question. And the anxiety on every girl's heart is, I will not be considered beautiful. I will not be considered attractive. I will not be able to have the love and affection and fidelity of men, males. And the most important man in her life is you, Alan, in defining these issues. I just want to encourage you there. I'm thankful you are there. The fact that you're listening, calling, that encourages me greatly. That's one of the flip side issues about the absence of a father, obviously, in the home, because it affects boys. Certainly when it comes to all kinds of expectations and modeling issues and discipline, but it also affects girls, especially at the level of self-esteem. I mean, you ask a serious cognitive question, and that is, how do we teach our teenage or preteen daughters this? I think one of the best ways we can do it, Alan, is with the negative. And I really mean this. I think this is the kind of conversation that might be a little difficult for some, but I think it's what's really necessary. Look at what the world considers beautiful, and let's consider whether we really do. Let's look at the Britney Spears. Let's look at the Paris Hiltons. Let's look at all this, and let's ask the question, do we really want to be that? And look at how much of the world says beauty, 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 beauty. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Pretty. You see, the difference between the word beautiful and pretty is immense. In the Christian tradition, pretty is what lies to the eyes. And all the way from the forbidden fruit, which was attractive to the eye, to Solomon's warning to his son that beauty lies, excuse me, that that prettiness lies, attractiveness lies, we're told we can't trust our eyes. Now, the other thing is, and Alan, I don't think we're ever going to completely convince anyone that physical beauty is irrelevant. In other words, let's be honest about that, too. But while we're doing that, I think one of the things we can do is help our daughters to know how pretty we think they are. Now, not as a way of just doing self-esteem therapy, but by saying, you know, I delight in you. I even delight just in seeing you. And, you know, I honestly believe that one of the lies is from this culture that beauty means one thing, that we have one ideal, and here's what it looks like. I think not only do we have to point out that it's mostly, according to the scripture, almost exclusively a matter of spiritual and character content, it's also a reality that we have simply narrowed the scope of beauty to one expectation, when in reality, every single human being made in the image of God is beautiful in some way, and we've got to work at that. But I think the other thing we need to do, and Alan, I appreciate the opportunity to say this, is warn our daughters that they will be subjected to the analysis of some males that will hurt them. But they've got to decide how much they're going to allow it to hurt them. If they have the power of what the world recognizes as beauty, then they're also going to have to be taught how to be good stewards of that, because very quickly they can learn how to manipulate with that in a way that also is very injurious. We've got a lot of callers on the line. We're going to get to as many of those calls as possible. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, we are told that Christ is beautiful. We are also told by the prophet Isaiah that it wasn't physical beauty. He had the appearance of one as one from whom men turn their faces. The difference between the pretty and the beautiful is the difference between the truth and a lie. According to the Christian tradition, the good, the beautiful, and the true are all the same. And something that is corrupt and artificial, false, and sinful can't really be beautiful. If our lies tell us it's beautiful, our eyes are lying to us. The number is 877-893-8255, and we'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Again, remember that we're glad to hear from you by email, even during the program. If you can't join us by phone conversation, join us by email. We can get a lot more emails on than calls, just given the time constraints on live radio. But we want to get to as many calls as possible. For emails, just send us to mail at albertmohler.com, go to albertmohler.com, hit the mail button, and it will get to us. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, where Chad's on the line, listening to WFIA. Go ahead, Chad.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. Appreciate you taking my call. I think one of the main reasons that we've allowed the world to influence the Christian worldview is because the average Christian, which is most Christians, do not understand their true identity in Christ and what he's done for us and who we are in Christ. Most average Christians don't understand that we're sanctified, that we're set apart, that we're holy, that we're justified. And until we understand our identity in Christ, we're not going to be able to allow our children to understand that if we're not going to portray that relationship and understand that relationship. Most Christians don't know what they believe and why they believe that. And if that doesn't happen, then we're not going to be able to express that to our children and have that followed. A quick example. Recently, there was a discussion. We're teaching our 7-year-old daughter on modesty, and a group amongst of Christians, one of the mothers was irate that we're teaching that, saying that we're teaching our daughter to be judgmental, which it flabbergasted me. So,
well, she was being very judgmental in making that accusation, Chad. I mean, that's one of those issues of irrationality, charging you with being judgmental. She had to be judgmental in order to make that judgment, which is just to point out that moral judgment is a responsibility. Not being judgmental in the wrong sense, according to the scripture, is trying to read the heart, not the actions, according to Jesus. That's one of those verses taken out of context. So God bless you for what you're doing, Chad, and also much appreciation for your point. That is essentially it. We as Christians have to understand that our identity is in Christ, male and female. But for girls, that really is a very important lesson. I'm so glad you're teaching your daughter that we are of inestimable value in the sense that we find our riches in Christ. But it's not about us. It is about Christ. That's why, one of the wrong things we can say is that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus for us without mentioning the fact that it isn't because we were such wonderful people. It's because he's such a loving God. And to make that very clear, that's just a wonderful point. Better identity in Christ. Thanks, Chad. Let's go to Tupelo, Mississippi, where Tim's on the line, listening to XM 170. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Mohler. Great program today, and I really sympathize with the previous caller. I've got an 11-year-old daughter, and it's very tough today. We face a lot of issues that we don't necessarily want to face, but, bringing up young children, especially the girls, the concept of value and where these young girls get their ideas of value, a direct contrast with biblical value, the biblical view. And it's just hard. It's very hard for parents. It's very hard for children because they are grasping onto the lie and they're not reaching for the truth. So it just feels like you're swimming up Niagara Falls sometimes trying to teach these young ones that, what you've got to understand is your value needs to come from God and what God has done for you, rather than, buying a certain purse or a certain style or kind of makeup or the way you wear your hair or how many boyfriends you have or when you have the boyfriends and that sort of thing. So it's tough. And sometimes you feel like you're on an island. But I sympathize and empathize with the parents out there that are trying to raise young ladies today. It's tough.
It is, and been there, done that, and I understand that. And appreciate you sharing that point. Glad that you've got an 11-year-old daughter. I guess the way I'd rather put it here is I'm glad your 11-year-old daughter has you, Tim, with your instincts and concerns here as a Christian father. And one of the most important things that Tim said is how our kids are picking up on this. And how would we expect it to be otherwise? I mean, just look what the culture tells them 24/7. And not only is it the external culture out there with its secular and fallen instincts and with its celebration of early sexuality and all the rest, it's also people who mean well, who really emphasize external beauty. I mean, in one sense, a grandmother can be as dangerous here as Victoria's Secret. If the grandmother is subtly, or for that matter, overtly communicating that I love you because you're pretty, rather than I love you because of who you are. You know, what do we aspire? What do we aspire for our own daughters? That's a very interesting question to ask. Let's go to Sarah, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. Moeller. I just wanted to comment on you were talking about parental involvement, and I just think that's essential because as a teacher, I think these girls are really looking for belonging and acceptance, and that's why they're looking to these negative role models. And the beauty on the inside lesson is really shallow without parental involvement to really install those biblical principles so they could find their security in Christ.
That's an extremely important point, Sarah, and one that's helpfully made by a mom. And that allows me to say I think moms are better at this than dads, by and large. Or to say that dads, I think, more often fail at this than moms. I think moms probably have better instincts at this than dads. You know, I want to tell you about a conversation I heard, was a part of not too long ago. I'd like to think it's not too long ago, but I guess it has been now several years ago, that Jay Kessler, former head of Youth for Christ, pointed out that he said pre-adolescent and adolescent girls, especially talking about pre-adolescent girls, are like barnyard cats. And I wonder, where in the world are you going with this? And he talked about growing up on a farm, and he said when there's a barnyard, you know, group of kittens, as soon as you walk in the barn, they start coming over to you, rubbing against your ankles, just looking for a little bit of attention. And he said pre-adolescent girls are really like that. And he said to dads, this is what's really important, Jay Kessler said to dads, if you are not the one they're coming up to get that affirmation from, or if you fail them in that, they're going to look for another male from whom they're going to get that kind of affirmation. A pre-adolescent girl is rightly asking the question, how am I perceived by males? That's not the wrong question. It's not the only question, but it's one question that, I mean, just for their maturation and ideal of marriage and all the rest, you want them to at least have that on their screen, on their horizon. But that question better be answered, first of all, by dad who says, I love you because of who you are. This is what I love about you. I love being around you. You bring delight to my heart, and I am so proud to be your dad. And I want you to come over here, and I'm going to regularly hug you and affirm you. I'm going to spend time with you, and I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to smile at you when you look at me, and I'm going to let you know before any other male has any opportunity to get close to you, here's one man who smiles every time he thinks of you. That's at least what every father owes his daughter. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Moeller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. Listen to this. This is the lead paragraph from a story in the Sydney Morning Herald. That's Sydney, Australia, yesterday. Quote, at age 9, most girls in Australia are learning running, writing, and getting their pen license. They're probably into High School Musical and Hannah Montana. They dress in crop tops and love experimenting with their mother's makeup. Our little girls appear to be growing up faster than ever. And it may not be just tween fashion that's to blame. Experts in the U.S. are documenting that first signs of puberty in girls are coming earlier, and it's a trend that some say is inevitable in Australia. You only have to visit a playground to see evidence of 8- and 9-year-old girls with the first external signs of puberty. Now, this is just a reminder to us that there are all kinds of things going on in this culture, and puberty is coming earlier for children. And before you start looking at conspiracy theories and vaccines and all the rest, just think about the fact that avoiding a lot of the diseases. Just the fact that so many young children have good diets in terms of ample calories, and certainly they have things that previous generations didn't have, and they're not getting many of these diseases, mean that both boys and girls are going into puberty earlier. That complicates things. Certainly in terms of teaching our children how to handle these gifts while they're waiting until they are married. And, boy, we talk about that a lot. But then you think about what happens when a society sees that not as a challenge for which we need to teach children how to delay sexual gratification, sexualization in terms of public presentation and all the rest. What would you say about a society that says, hey, this is just another opportunity to sell more product? This is just another opportunity to seduce more girls into a false understanding of beauty. That, to me, is really, really scary. For Christian parents, this is just another reminder that we are called upon to be actively thinking about what it means to adequately parent our children, faithfully parent our children in the midst of very confusing times. If you have boys or if you have girls or if you have boys and girls, just know that the situations are complex. We're the people who know that the issues are not always the same when it comes to boys and girls. But when it comes to the issue we're talking about today, we need not only to teach our daughters to understand that beauty is internal, we better be working on our boys as well. Because they need to know from a very early age that their eyes will lie to them. And a lot earlier than a lot of moms want to recognize, these boys are having responses that they need to learn can be all together misleading. They need to be looking for the right kind of beauty, that they will look for the right kind of wife, and that they'll be the right kind of man. We appreciate the emails that were sent in today. I want to mention one, especially from Amelia. She was writing in saying that she and her husband don't have kids yet, but when the Lord blesses them with children, if they have girls, no Barbie dolls, nothing that's going to send the wrong message. And, you know, this is another reminder to me that it's good that parents are thinking about this ahead of time. Thanks for the emails. Thanks to Amelia for this message. Let's all be thinking about this. And let's be sure when we think, we're doing our best to think like Christians. Back next week with Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.